sometimes we hear someone say, I remember in my day, this is how it was. We didn't have school buses. We walked to school uphill both ways and sometimes barefoot. And we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. Winters were rough, kind of like this one, right? Everybody has stories of how life's tasks were once accomplished or completed. And definitely, I appreciate progress. There are things now that we do in radio production that 25 years ago was way different. I've talked to you about the old traditional cutting tape and splicing. Now it's, and my daughter's working on her internship at Boston Medical Center with a digital editing, and she's learning how to edit, and she's, yeah, this is just like amazing, like it's magic. And so we can do things now, and so we should appreciate progress. Progress marks a new way of getting something done, or, in our case, completed. Dennis might remember this one from April 3rd, 1860. Love you, brother. To October 1861, the Pony Express was a mail service delivering messages, newspapers, and mail using relays of horse-mounted riders that operated between Missouri and California in the United States. Operated by Central Overland California and Pikes Peak Express Company, the Pony Express was a great financial investment to the U.S. during its 18 months of operation. It's right around the time of the Civil War. It reduced the time for messages to travel between the Atlantic and Pacific coast in about 10 days. It became the West's most direct means of east-west communication before the transcontinental telegraph, kind of the pre-internet, right? Pre-text messages, and that was established on October 24th, 1861. It was vital for tying the state of California to the rest of the United States. The Pony Express demonstrated that a unified transcontinental system of communication could be established and operated year-round. You think about how far technology has come, but how important it was even in this day. This was a way of getting a message. This was important. We've got to get information to people who now live far away from us. Its reliance on the ability and endurance of individual young, hardy riders and fast horses was seen as evidence of rugged American individualism of the frontier times. I love this. I love this ad. Pony Express, St. Joseph, Missouri to California in 10 days or less. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert riders, willing to risk death daily. Orphans preferred, wages $25 per week. And that's where you'd apply. There are certain people who were looking for adventure and were willing to sign up. You think about how far we've come and the excuses that people make. But there was once a time in our nation where people truly looked forward. I'm not saying they weren't lazy people, but I'm saying we seem to have lost a day of getting out there. This is the land of the home and the free. We've got an amazing country. I think about my own cell phone today. We have friends in Guam. They're missionaries. If I text Doug right now, it would go whatever the distance is, about 5 to 7,000 miles in seconds. Just think of how fast our technology gets information. You could have a text message somewhere on the other side of the planet in just moments. And so I believe that no matter whether you know Jesus Christ or don't know Jesus Christ, and that mean, I mean personally, you've trusted him as your own, that everyone appreciates completion in some way. People don't like living in limbo. I believe God wired us. He wired us to know completion. We don't like things that are out there and just loose ends. It makes us uncomfortable. We like to know the plan. That's why I give you a bulletin every Sunday. You like to know the plan, right? When does this guy start and when does he finish, right? I don't put the time on there for a reason. But in all seriousness, we like to know that things have a certain ability to be wrapped up, or what's next, and what you're about to experience later today is really about what's next. But we're not just expecting it just to be in limbo. We're heading for the next steps because God is all about completion. The scripture says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I pray that you know that this morning, and I pray especially that you know Jesus Christ. And I want to show you a couple of things. Even throughout the scripture, we see that God is a completer. We would see this in creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Wow. God's a finisher. I believe he's the author of the finish, of the real meaning of finish. In redemption, Jesus says in John chapter 19, on the cross that is, dying for the sins of the whole wide world, everyone ever born. His sacrifice was a once and for all sacrifice. He says in his final breath, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. In Jesus preparing our future home with him, he says, in my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You'd see that in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And I found it very interesting in preparation for today. One of the very closing verses in the entire Word of God, Revelation, the book of Revelation. You should read the book of Revelation, even though there's things in the book of Revelation that you're going to struggle understanding. Doesn't really matter. God's word, he's faithful to his word. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, it says, in one sense, he's bringing things to conclusion. Angel says this to the apostle John, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, because it has yet to be completed. And that's what the local church and the church of the living God is all about. We have a job to do while we're here, is to point people to Jesus Christ and have a lot of fun doing it. That's what this is about. Enjoy the salvation. To sit and wallow in your sin as a believer can easily happen to most of us, but you have a great reason to rejoice. We talk about the end of the pity party for the believer, because we know that God has a grand plan, and the scripture is very clear that even he causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Well, what are his purposes? It's to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's ultimately the great work of our Lord. He wants you to be like his son because he already gave you the right to be called a child of God, even though to believe on his name. And I'd like to read a little bit today from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. I believe this is the proof that believers are being brought to completion. I thought this passage was perfect. I feel like the Lord just said, this is what you are to preach on Sunday. It is the will of God that we see and know what he is doing. God wants you not living in ignorance as a Christian. Oh, it's all going to work out by and by in the sky. That's bad theology. And it's easy to buy into thinking that you really can't know. God says that he gave you the mind of Christ, that you would know the things that belong to you freely. And I have a scripture in a little while that I want to show you that. It is the will of God that we see and know what he is doing. And the Philippians were proof of that. And Paul's partner, Epaphroditus, traveled to bring a generous gift of ministry support to the apostle while he was where? In prison. He was under house arrest, and the jail conditions for the Apostle Paul are probably far worse than we'd ever know. There was oftentimes the people that were residing in prisons there were just a matter of time before they were thrown to the lions. And oftentimes that was within earshot of the people. So they always heard some form of suffering in one sense, they knew. The apostle gives us a glimpse of how much the Philippians are partners with him in true fellowship. The Greek word for real fellowship with Christ is called koinonia. This isn't just, hey, you guys want to have a hot dog together and let's laugh? No. I like the way J. Vernon McGee says he used to get invited to all these places, and one of the themes of where this particular Rotary Club was that they have brotherhood and fellowship. And he says, no, their fellowship, even though they invited me, and he was grateful for that, it wasn't the fellowship that the believer has in Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, you can certainly grow in this fellowship. And that's sharing in Christ's perfect love, And I hope today you have experienced His perfect love personally. That's very, very important that you just don't let this be for somebody else. Are you laboring with Christ? Are you co-laboring in one sense that you're partnering with the Lord Jesus Christ for the completion? I believe Grace Lighthouse is co-laboring with Jesus Christ. And that's why He's blessing this church. It's not because how good we are. Hello. Right? So don't ever get, we never want to get to that place. We want to remain very in full dependence that we are always weak, but we are made strong by Christ. That in our weakness, He perfects us in, because He's the one working in us. And so we want to know that. We want to know the love of Christ. We want to know the labor of Christ. And we want to share in His sufferings. In other words, sometimes you're going to have to take a hit for Jesus. And it's okay. He took one for us. That's right. And we share in His sufferings. Man, this is working out great. No. So, let me just read you a little bit of a commentary before I go and read the text. It must have brought great joy to the Philippians as they would hear this amazing epistle brought to them. To hear the Philippians hear from the apostle that I thank God for you. Here was a letter of commendation from one who was in Roman chains. He was in prison nearly 800 miles away from them. So Rome to Philippi, about 800 miles. And about 10 years had passed since Paul had first worked among them. But now he's passing off this letter to them because he has a dear friend, Epaphroditus, who is a faithful partner with the apostle. There is no greater asset to a ministry than to have faithful partners. It gets done with faithful partners. The work gets accomplished because God is willing to work for His good pleasure in you. And He wants us to be a part of this. And every time the apostle, do you realize most people think that the theme of this book of Philippians, and I've often thought this, well, the theme of the book is rejoicing, right? I believe that is one of the themes, but I don't think it's the major theme necessarily. The theme of this book is Jesus Christ. Over 40 times Jesus Christ's name is mentioned in this book. Every time Paul thought of them, he thanked them because they were in Christ. On the screen, as we talk about made for completion, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. The apostle says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, Paul's not Southern, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for God's word. I thank the Lord for insights into the word of God that remind me that not every tone of Paul's letters have this same tone. Sometimes it's a tone of correction, still very much loving. But I believe what we see here in the book of Philippians is true partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, there's things that belong to the church that has a full partnership with God. Number one, I see on the back of your bulletin that in us will develop a complete rejoicing. We will be a rejoicing group of believers. Also, we will know a complete salvation. I teach that salvation on the authority of the Word of God is a gift. You can't earn it, but you must receive it. It's not, you can't make up your own rules with God. Making up our own rules with God is foolish. Because he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? If you are not sure today that you are in Christ, you need to be sure. Because God has a gift for you that needs to be received, and an unreceived gift of salvation is actually as a no salvation for you. And God wants to save you. And I know many of you have trusted Christ. I never know who's here. And I don't guess on people's condition of your heart. It's not my job to do that, but my job is to proclaim and to be faithful, to build up the saints, and also give urgency to people who would need to be reminded that they too need to be saved. And also, which I think is in the heart of this congregation, certainly was in the church at Philippi, that Paul recognized not only a complete rejoicing and celebrating that they have a complete salvation, there's complete concern here, and I want to look at these a little bit this morning. Paul says, I thank my God in upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer for mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. A big part of ministry is prayer. A big part of the success of any local church is going to be prayer. Yes, I understand. I pray when I'm not in this building. I also believe that there's great value in getting together to pray as a church. This morning we were over on the future home location, which I was very excited. And at the end of our time together, somebody expressed a need. This is a big, important need in their life right now for their family. And we just said, let's stop and pray. Plus, we asked the Lord to bless the rest of the day. You know, we asked him. And I think when we are united with God in prayer, as the apostle is saying here, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making a request for you with all joy. Wow. Dear God, I'm just such a loser. I'm just a jerk. You know, let's begin to pray according to the right that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Because even though, and I'm just being honest here, I've not always been as strong, and I'm not even saying I'm super strong. There is no S. Mark pointed out too. There's no S under this shirt. I do believe that God, as you get to know the Word of God, you become stronger to know what is yours. So even in your weakness, in your worst moments, you don't turn that into a pity party. You turn that into an opportunity to pray with joy because you know that you have a Savior who will never walk away from you. That is the truth of the Word of God. And right here, Paul is talking about this idea. I mean, this guy's in prison and he's praying with all joy. It's like, oh, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Dave. You don't know my life. I don't. And I don't profess to know all that you go through emotionally. I don't know the guilt that you have. I don't. But I can tell you there's a remedy to deal with that. He's called Jesus, and his precious blood is the full proof that there's a perfect cleansing for you. You can't religiously work yourself into this. Although I believe it's perfectly right for us to remember the Lord's table. So there are times where this little church looks a little bit more religious on certain Sundays than other Sundays. But our remembering of the Lord's table is not just a religious ceremony. It is a clear-cut reminder of the blood that was shed for us on that cross. And every time we drink it, we're proclaiming that he's coming again. And that he's going to make 100% good on his promise. Because this life, as you saw yesterday in New Orleans, at the New Hard Rock Hotel, has collapsed and killed two people. And there were people still missing. So this life is very uncertain. God knows that. That's why he says, don't postpone what you should do today, tomorrow. And that's why this church will be holding out this great light of Christ until he comes. That's my prayer. Way beyond us. And so, but we want to be a prayerful church, and we want to be a prayerful church with joy. Because in that, there's a real fellowship in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul's saying, when I heard of this way back from the first day, that I heard of your coming to faith, and I believe Paul's thinking back to 10 years prior, when he was with them. See, that's the thing is, you and I have great ideas. James talks about that. You know, you who say today we're going to go do this and we're going to do that and all this and that. You know, he says you should say, if the Lord wills this or that, we should do that. So to think that you and I are guaranteed tomorrow, it's just a joke. I mean, we're not. And you can't blame God for that because God already told us that that's not. He's got a future place far better than this. He's let us be here for now, and he wants us with him forever. That is so sweet. That is just so sweet. We could be with our Lord, our loving Lord, forever. Forever. We're going to get to be with our loving Lord who loved us perfectly. But there's true fellowship while we have opportunity. There's so many cool things going on in this church. I can't even tell you. You all make me smile. Even you, Pat. Even you, my friend. Because you remind me, right? He knows I love him. He teases me all day long. He gets... Please, stop him. But you guys make me... You guys bring me joy. And part of that is your partnership in this ministry. It saddens me when people, out of a lack of understanding, form opinions that are incomplete and they draw conclusions based upon their own mind imagining things. They think things that aren't true and they project things that aren't true and they try to guess what's in my head. If ever I offend anybody in this church, you got to see me because it's not intentional. All right? And that's something that I think this is where Satan loves to do damage. I'm telling you, we must be more vigilant than ever. You don't get 2703 Cranberry Highway and make Satan happy. Okay? However, I'm not worried about that, but I know greater who is he who is in us than he who is in this world. I serve a risen Savior who've already crushed his head. Okay? And so we are going to move forward as a church with great prayer. And we are going to serve Christ as God wants. And Paul says, this is number one, talking about the complete salvation that the believer has. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I think happens to Christians. They don't embrace good teaching, and they don't develop. And so when they meet Jesus face to face at the judgment seat of Christ as the show up time to be evaluated on how your life was, and most people think, well, that judgment, Pastor, that's like God's going to tell me if I'm going to go to heaven or hell. No, that is not that judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is for every believer who will be evaluated by Jesus himself on how they lived their life. That is something. And the Bible is very clear that we should be thinking about this in our lives because that day is coming. But our God is a generous God. Jesus says, I am coming and my reward is with me. He wants to reward you. Wow. Because you can't earn the perfect salvation that you got, but you certainly can earn rewards for faithful service. And this is... So I think what happens to many Christians is they lose sight of this. They don't rejoice. They don't realize they have a complete salvation. And then they don't develop a complete concern for other people because they're so caught up in their own world, their own stuff, their own survival. And I get it. That's why you need to know how to fight spiritually in this life. When we talked a few months ago on putting on the whole armor of God, it's because we are vulnerable and weak, and God has equipment for every one of us that we would not ever lose sight of. I need this on every day. This does not come easy, but it is so awesome. It's so full of joy that we get to do this. My wife's parents are in town, and they probably think, how do you guys run like this all the time? Because it's an active ministry in the local church is active, and healthy ministry allows for people to be a part of that in partnership with that. I want you to think about something. I've got a graphic up on the screen I want to point out to you. If this is apple crisp, but by the way, you're going to get some today. These people are, yes. But you know what? This recipe is useless unless you make it. Because when you make it, it looks like this. There you go. Yes, you're all hungry now. But the power of the Word of God in understanding God's... These people are, they're not leaving. They're not offended by what I'm saying. They're leaving because I've asked them to leave before service to go get things ready for you. But the idea is that we can be somewhat of a half-baked Christian. We got some ideas. I mean, you eat this and it's not very cooked. You put it all together. You go through all this work and this rigorous recipe preparation. But then you don't cook the whole thing as the recipe told you to do. It's not going to taste as good. Christians should taste good. We should taste great. We should have complete rejoicing. We should know that we received a complete salvation. And we should be able to develop a complete concern. That's why Paul says this here. He says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. He's trying to say here, we are together in this. Somebody said to me in this church, he says, Pastor, he says, you are the driver and I'm the engine. And in other words, we're going to get some things done together because God has empowered me to do some stuff and he's empowered you to do some stuff. And together you don't have a car without an engine. And we want to be good at what we do. We want to operate on all eight. We want this thing firing properly. Just as it is right for me to think of you all because I have you in my heart. In other words, Paul is more concerned. He's got a genuine concern for their progress. In spite of his chains, think about the apostle. We've got 14 letters in our New Testament by the apostle Paul. Several of those were written because of his time in jail. So when you're suffering, realize that is not time that should be wasted. God may want you sending someone a note of encouragement, maybe a text message. How many people get on their phone and they just look for stuff every day just for them? Maybe that's a time where you could say, I'm going to send them a note. I'm going to encourage them. I love them. I want them to know that I'm thinking about them, that I'm praying for them. Just as it's right for me to think of you all because I have you in my heart. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Do you know how affectionate Jesus Christ was for this world? So much so that he laid down his life for us. People think, oh, well, what happened 2,000 years ago on that cross? My Savior suffered in my place in a brutal way. Fully God, fully man, taking on himself my full sin payment and gladly bearing that for me that I would be able to be with him forever. This is our Lord. So when you talk about the affection of Jesus Christ, you're talking about somebody who will love you like no one else will love you. He's loved us like no one else could love us. He's a perfect lover. He's a perfect Savior. And God wants us to have the type of fellowship with him as a church. Our church is about finishing what he has for us. He has plans, he has a purpose, and he has a provision for us. We should count on that because of partnership with him in the gospel. And he has something for us to complete. Be anxious for nothing, but and this is how Paul would bring conclusion to this letter. If you were to step all the way over to chapter 4, he would say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Some translations might use the word petition. These are specific requests. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know that type of peace? Do you know the type of peace that God wants to give to you that would guard your own heart when it's restless and crazy? When your mind takes on thoughts and then you feed your anxious heart? I'm not any better at this than you, just saying. But I want to get better at it. I want this to be my focus, because I know that whenever that new building gets up there, there's going to be a lot of tests that we're about to go through. And there are going to be anxious moments that are not going to look like they're going to go in our favor. But here's the prescription. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, do this with a thankful heart. God, I know you've got this. I know. How could I doubt you? If you send your Son for me and you give me your Holy Spirit, how would you not give me other things? And that's the other scripture I promised I would give you earlier today. And then with that, we're going to get close to wrapping up here. Have you over there by 11:30. Trust me. Now we have, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, now we have received not the spirit of the world, which you don't want the spirit of the world, because the spirit of the world is broken. Okay? There's no other way I can put it. The spirit of this world system is broken. It is full of greed. It is full of lust. It is full of what's in it for me. And that's not the spirit that God has given to us. But the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants you to know what belongs to you. And you get to know that by reading His word. And Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our God is about receiving the full glory for what He is able to do in and through us in these days. I pray that you are ready to get on board for the ride. That together we would become a church minded like the Philippians. That Paul could celebrate these three major themes. That they had true rejoicing. That they had understood true salvation. And they had true concern one for another. May that be us as we move forward. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. And I pray, Lord, for the service that will be coming up at 11:30, that it would be once again a declaration of your great mercy, your great love, the great blessings that you have for us. And I pray for anyone in this room. Lord, you know my heart. I want to see every person in this room developing as a true child of the living God, that they would know Jesus, as the apostle would say, that I might know Him, that we would understand this true fellowship with you. We would understand your great love. We would be willing to sacrifice when it's inconvenient. And that we would understand that there's when we develop this idea of a true concern one for another, we are truly pleasing you because you care so much about us. And it can get worked out day after day in the lives of each other. Help us to do that, Lord. We dare not try this in our own strength. We are helpless to do so. But we can be reminding ourselves that we have the mind of Christ. We can be using all wisdom in these days. And we can be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for any need in this room this morning. Any heart that's broken. Any heart that feels just whatever. Disconnected from you, I pray that their heart would be lifted today because they know Jesus Christ. And if they don't know you, Lord, may they know you today. May they say, I am calling upon Christ to save me once and for all. I understand that He died for me. I understand that His blood was shed for me. I understand that He rose again, and I trust that for me. Anybody here this morning? Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? Make this your day of no-so salvation. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we dedicate the rest of our time this afternoon to you. Thank you for every provision that has been made for this day. You please be glorified in this day. That's what we're here to do. In Jesus' name, amen.